Thankful for that. It is a beautiful Lord's Day. You know, it kind of bothers me. I get up in the morning and I watch the news, the local news, and they're giving the weather report, and they say, oh, it's a good day to get out and go for a walk. It's a good day to get out and do this. It's a good day to get out and do that. And I'm thinking, it's a good day to go to the Lord's house, too. But that's not the way of the world. Another thing that's not a way of the world is to study the Bible. And we're planning to study the Bible this morning, to look at God's Word. We've been looking at God's Word concerning the eldership. And when we consider the Lord's church, when we consider the Lord's church and the eldership, we need to understand that their job, as the screen says, is to lead, to shepherd, and to teach. And when we think about this, we have to understand that this is part of God's divine plan for the church to be divinely organized. In earlier lessons, we have a checklist, you might say. And some of the things that we have noticed, the qualifications that we have noticed, is first of all, we've checked off the list that he must be a man. That's a given. But with our society and the way some of our churches and some of our more institutional and liberal-leaning brethren are going, that's questionable now. There are churches that are going, wanting to go far left in ideology when it comes to worshiping God, and they would be just as happy putting a woman in the eldership. So clearly the Bible says, from the Holy Spirit, God's divine word, that he must be a man. Rules out woman, rules out young man, rules out boy, rules out child. He must desire the office. We've checked that off our list. He has to want to be an elder. We looked at this lesson and we pointed out that you cannot force a man to serve as an elder. If he goes in because you forced him into it, you made him do this job, he's not going to do it. Yeah, look at your child. When you make them clean their room, how well is it going to be cleaned? Not very. The same principle applies. If you tell a man he has to serve as an elder, he's not going to be doing it with a whole heart. We've checked off the list, blameless. A man must be blameless. Now, there are a lot of people in discussing the eldership say that that is the one and only qualification. But then when they look at that qualification, they say, nobody really qualifies then. We've checked off that he must be the husband of one wife. And we talked about whether his wife lives or dies, he's a widower or whatever. But he must be the husband of one wife. And we pointed out that the scholars all agree that in between the Greek and the English, it reads the same. Husband of one wife. But in all of these qualifications, Paul gives us, through the direction of the Holy Spirit, that he must be each one of these things. Today we're going to look at temperate. He must be temperate, so we can check that off of our list when this lesson is done. When we look at this, it is necessary to accomplish to the fullest of ability what God desires the church to do and to be. So when we look at this checklist, these qualifications that the Holy Spirit has given the Apostle Paul, and he has in turn given to us, we have to understand that these are part of God's divine plan. The church is a divine organization by God. We've already discussed this and pointed this out. So these qualifications are divine qualifications. We have no right to question them. But we must understand that the Bible is our final authority. We all may have opinions about what these qualifications mean in our own mind. But we have to take what I want and I think out of it and do what God says do. You know, we looked at the qualification of blameless, and there are a lot of people that say, oh, that's the only one that really matters. If it's the only one that really matters, why is it not by itself? Why do we have these other qualifications if blamelessness is the only one that really matters? Some say the qualification we're looking at today, well, that's the one that really matters. You see what we're doing? Man looks at these qualifications and they go, that's the one. No, that's the one. It's like taking a child to a toy store. And you ask him, you can only have one toy. Which one do you want? That one. No, wait, I want this one. No, 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 wait, I want this one. And the farther they go down the line, they want a different toy. Just like my grandbabies. You don't dare go down the toy aisle at Walmart when they're with Nanny and Papa. But when it comes to the qualifications of God's Word, we've already discussed that the Word of God is divinely given. Therefore, these qualifications are all divinely given by the Holy Spirit. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, according to the King James Version, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God's Word gives us everything we need to know. Now, that doesn't mean you can't take a commentary and help yourself to better understand what God may mean in these qualifications. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you need to know what the Greek says sometime in some of these words, some of these qualifications. So there's nothing wrong with getting some better understanding of what a particular Greek word means and how it translates to English. There's nothing wrong with that, but you still need to only adhere to God's Word. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, according to the English Standard Version, that all Scripture is breathed out by God. That's what inspired means, is that God breathed it out. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training. I am a full-time believer that we need to start right now with young men, training them to become elders. It's not wise to take a man who is in his 40s and 50s and say, you need to start training yourself to be an elder. He should have started, because a man in his 40s and 50s likely already has children. And he should have been working with them when he was in his 20s, raising his children, getting married. Maybe he married a woman that's not a Christian. That rules him out. But it's profitable for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, since the Bible was given by God, and as Paul says, it furnishes us to every good work, then it is necessary for the church to be organized after that divine pattern in order to be acceptable to God. You can't go out here and say, well, you know, I heard this preacher one time said that when we talk about temperance, well, it really doesn't apply. And then you look at society today, as I said, and some of these far extreme left churches are saying, well, I think a woman, if she can be a CEO in a corporation, she could serve as an elder. I mean, look at the decisions she has to make over employees and money and the decisions all along that line. Why couldn't she serve? Because God said it has to be a man. We need to look at God's Word. Now, when we talk about the church, it is no better than its eldership. Think about that for a moment. Let it sink in just a minute. I'm not going to go anywhere until we think about that for just a moment. The church here at Eastside is no better or worse than its eldership. Any other congregation is no better or worse than its eldership. You drive around and you look at a church and it's falling apart and you go, wonder what happened. You drive around, you see a congregation, and there might be two or three cars there. You go, well, wonder what happened. I remember driving by here in the parking lot, it was full, hundreds of cars. Church is no better or no worse than its eldership. If the qualification is lacking in the eldership, then it will usually be lacking in the church. As we pointed out with some of these qualifications, they apply to every Christian. The one today is no different. When it talk about blameless, that applies to every Christian, not just the elders. So if a qualification is lacking in an eldership, it's usually lacking in the church. And there is no reason why any of these qualities should be considered one greater or lesser than the other. So, let us begin today by looking at he must be temperate. That's only found in Titus 1 and verse 8. The King James Version here says that he must be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. New King James says he must be self-controlled. The English Standard Version says he must be disciplined. All of these apply. They all mean the same thing. If a man is temperate, he has self-control. If a man is self-controlled, then he has discipline in his life. But without these, We need to understand that they're all essential qualifications. And without these, there would be no restraints or controlling influences in the many matters that he as an elder might have to oversee. And if he has no temperance or no self-control, then it's going to have a bearing done upon the work of the eldership as a whole. Now, these men have to be well-trained in self-control and moderation. Therefore, it rules out the fact that a young man can serve as an elder. You look at young men today, and how many of them have self-control? If they've got a job, what do? With their money? They buy what they want. They go do whatever they want because they don't have anybody having to answer to at home. Now, I don't mean that the husband has to answer to the wife. In a way, he does. Because the eldership has to answer to God and to the church as well. So he has to be in self-control and moderation in everything that he does in his life in order for this to be qualified as a noble work. Now, as with everything else, let's look at the Greek. The Greek word used here is ekrata. And scholars all agree that the definition means having the mastery over, having possession of, having control over oneself, self-disciplined, temperate, content, curbing, restraining. He's able to restrain his actions, his speech, his wants and desires. Marilyn looks at the bank account here lately, and she goes, well, wait a minute, what's this charge right here? And she'll look over, and she goes, that's a golf club, ain't it? Yes, it is. And I look at her and I go, well, wait a minute, what's this charge right here? Is that a birthday present for a grandbaby? Yes, it is. But you understand the principle here is we have to own ourselves, our actions, our speech. As a man that's going to serve as an elder or is serving as an elder, the Greek word here means that he has to have control over himself. Now, that takes into a great deal of things. It's not just how he spends money, but it's his speech. Does he fly off the handle every time somebody asks him a question? What do you want? You know, sometimes if we're frustrated, we might snap our children's heads off like that. Don't bother me right now. Can't you see I'm trying to work? But that comes with age and experience. A younger man might do that to his children, but an older man should have learned by now that you don't do that. Obviously, the exact meaning here of the word is to be in control of oneself to the point of moderation in that which is lawful, but also it means abstaining from all things that are unlawful. It means you have self-control. You're temperate. You have disciplined your emotions, your actions, your speech. Everything about you is controlled. And like I say, that doesn't just apply to men that are serving as elders or going to serve as elders. And that doesn't just apply to men, but that applies to everybody that's going to be a child of God. We have to have control. The English versions, render the Greek ekrata pretty much the same thing. It means self-control. It means not difficult to see. Well, it means that it's not difficult to see the intended, what's intended by these translations. In other words, they say the elder or bishop must be a man of advanced ability and power to govern his own conduct to the point of restraining himself over indulgence. Now, like I say, the divine gospel says if he's going to serve as an elder, he has to have this qualification. But I'd be remiss if I didn't point out that qualification needs to be seen in anybody that's going to serve as a Christian. All of us need to have self-control. We all, as children of God, need to have temperance. Every person here that has obeyed the gospel needs to have self-discipline. In fact, every Christian's got to have this. But it's been said that no man can measure up to this. No man. Just like with the qualification of blameless. Every Christian must be temperate, have self-control, or have self-discipline. You look at passages, and that should be 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. And Peter says here, beginning in verse 5, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control." And to self-control, perseverance. We look at this passage, and it's the Christian graces. In fact, we just recently ended a Bible class every Tuesday morning talking about the Christian graces. We went through every one of them. But it's interesting, in the previous verses leading up to verse 5 here, it talks about that the reason you've got to add to your faith all of these virtues is to have fellowship with God. Y'all remember that? So why would this only apply to elders to have self-control? It applies to everybody that wants to have fellowship with God. Every person that is a child of God, that wants to be closer to God, to have fellowship with God, to have fellowship with one another, needs to have self-control. We need to be self-disciplined. So when you look at this, temperance or self-control is the fourth step in the growth of being a Christian. It's the fourth step. Now let me ask you a question. How can a mature man develop to the point of being a good, strong Christian without having added this to his virtue? You want him to serve as an elder. You say, well, he can't be an elder without having this qualification. And I go back and I say, this is something that you have to grow into. You have to learn self-discipline. So you take a man that's in his 40s, 50s, and you say, we want you to be one of our next elders. And he doesn't have any practice or any of these qualifications added to his life. How's he going to work? Maybe it's a week, maybe it's a month, and you're expecting him to be an elder. How's he going to have all of these qualifications down pat in that short of a time period? That's why we need young men today training in these qualifications. Training, working on these qualifications, developing as a young man into these qualifications with the expectation of when they become mature enough, age-wise, then they can serve as an elder. We make a mistake when we take and just all of a sudden we say, hey, we need more elders or we need new elders or whatever the case may be, and we look out amongst us and we say, well, we've never talked about elders, but I think he would make one, but I just don't know. And then you start looking down the checklist of qualifications and you go, well, he's never shown any temperance or self-control. He's always indulgent. He always snaps with his speech and things of this nature. If one has grown in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 says, then he is a temperate man. This growth, as I said, does not take place overnight. We babysat last night. And we were around four of them yesterday for a birthday party. It's amazing how fast your grandbabies grow, isn't it? It's amazing how fast your children grow, isn't it? But when you're poking a bottle in their mouth when they're just a baby, and you're amazed at how fast they mature and grow, playing with their feet and finding their feet, right, Serena? We've got one that's setting up, and she's bouncing and kicking her feet, and it's an amazing thing to watch them, how they grow. But you don't expect a six-month-old to be driving a riding lawnmower the next day, do you? See, we expect our kids to grow fast. And they grow too fast sometimes. But in the same picture, when we need men to serve as elders, we make the mistake of hurriedly appointing men to serve in that position. We need them to be training and studying now to step into that position at a later date. You need to be working, gentlemen, brethren, to serve as an elder later on. You need to be focusing your life around these qualifications. You need to be talking to your sons about These are the qualifications that you need to have in your life so that one day, whether it's at Eastside or you grow up and move off, you can serve as an elder wherever God may need you. But if he's grown in the grace and knowledge of Christ, he is a temperate man. And he should qualify to be an elder based on this qualification. Now, as we close out this lesson, this is one quality that you cannot hide. He may get away with apt to teach. You might be able to wing it well enough to let people think you really know the Bible. But temperance, self-control, you cannot hide it. You can't fake it. His speech and actions are going to show whether he has temperance, if he can control his temper or not. I have served with men that are elders. And if the right thing came along, boy, you talk about striking a match. They'd blow their top, and it'd make you worried. They couldn't control their temper or their tongue. Nothing is farther from being qualified as an elder than a man who lets himself fly into a rage when things don't go his way. It's not impossible to find men who have clear minds and good vigilance in the work of the church. We need to remember that the eldership is part of God's divine plan. And if God says men can serve in this capacity, then men can meet these qualifications. But everything we do is part of God's divine church. It ought to reflect God's divine pattern for the church. And everything we do as Christians, as elders, as deacons, and yes, even as ministers, I'll throw myself in there, is to bring honor and glory to God's high and holy name. Now, every man appointed to serve in the eldership of God's church must be vigilant before he is acceptable in the eyes of God. I pray that as we look at these qualifications, that you think, well, we've got three men and I'm going down and I'm looking at them. That's good. But my prayer is that you're looking at yourself with some of these qualifications as well. We all have to have self-control in our lives. We all have to be diligent to be what God would have us to be. Now, it may be that you're here this morning. You're not a child of God. You're not a Christian. This is an opportunity to be what God would have you to be. Saved. With a plan of going to heaven when this world is no more. This is your opportunity to do everything that God would have you to do. If you've become a Christian, but you've gone back into the world, this is your opportunity as well to bring yourself back to Christ. Confess your sins as public as they may be and return to the fold of God. You know, Jesus promised that he would return. He said, "My Father's going to send me back." But he couldn't tell us when. He doesn't know. He said neither he nor the angels in heaven know. Only the Father knows. What would you do? How would you respond to this invitation if you knew that this was the last time, the last opportunity that you'd ever have to confess your sins as an erring child of God or to put Christ on in baptism? If you knew, which you don't. Peter said the Lord's going to come back like a thief in the night. If you knew when that thief was coming, you'd make preparations. If you knew Christ was coming tonight, this afternoon at 12:01, what would you do right now? If you're here and you need to respond to the invitation, I encourage you to make your way to the front while we stand and while we sing.